ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। Let us read the verse number 30. Prahladaschasmi daityanam kalah kalatamaham mruganam cha mrugendroham वैनतेयश्च पक्षिणाम्। प्रह्लादस् चास्मि दैत्यानाम्। Among all the daityas or demons, I am Prahlada. Then next Lord Krishna says, कालह कलयताम अहम्। कलयताम्, those who reckon, those who count, I am कालह, I am time. So time is the one who keeps on counting, I guess. It is always flowing tick, 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 tick. So that is kala, that is the time. He is a great accountant. And so keeps account of every moment. The moment that has gone never comes back, understand. And so in that sense every moment becomes very precious. It may not look like time is passing, but kalo na yato vayameva yatah, says the sage Bhartruhari. It is not the time that has gone, it is we who have gone, you know. The time remains what it is. And we keep on getting in the kala kridati gacchati ayuhu. The time sports and the life ebbs away. So that is kala. Constantly doing its job, very silently. Although the heart does tick tick or the clock may do, but the way the kala works, we don't even know. It creeps like a cat, you know, and does its work. But then, among all those who reckon, all those who count, all those who keep account, I am kala.
Kalayatam sankhyanam gananam kurvatam madhye. Kalayatam, sankhyanam. So those who count numbers, among them, I am kala, I am time, the principle of time. Sometimes kala also is a name of death. So yama also is called kala, because the time, you know, constantly devours everything. So there is one verse in which Shankaracharya says, आयुर नश्यति पश्यताम प्रतिदिनम याति क्षयम यौवनम। आयुर नश्यति पश्यताम, our life ebbs away even as we are watching, you know, it goes away from slips from our hand. याति क्षयम यौवनम, our youth also is getting slowly and slowly ebbed away, exhausted. प्रत्यायान्ति गताः पुनर्दिवसाः, the days which are gone they never come back. Kalo jagat bhakshakah, the time is the one that devours everything. So he is a great devourer in that sense. But here, later on, kala will be presented as death also. Here, however, Lord Krishna presents kala as a counter, the one who keeps counting the numbers among them. So all those who are accountants, among them I am kala.
Mruganam cha mrugendroham. Among all the mruga, among all the animals, mrugendra. Mruga means king of animals, king of animals. That is, lion is said to be the king of forest. So Lord Krishna says, I am the lion. That's my vibhuti, my glory. Although, here Shankaracharya says, simho vyagrova. Sometimes it is not clear who is the most powerful animal, which is the most powerful animal. Is it lion or is it tiger? Perhaps tiger is more powerful than lion. In India also,
Formerly, lion was in the whole of the country. But from the Bengal, these tigers, you know, they spread their reign and they drew away the lion. All the way back to only Gujarat, you know, so they are now concentrated only in a small area, really. That's where the lion sanctuary is. And there were a few places also, but then that way tigers appear to be more powerful than lions. But still we like to call lion, because he looks, his appearance is very kingly. And his style is very royal. His walk and everything, you know, and the way he looks back. Or Simha Avalokanam, as he walks, he looks back. So looking back and taking stock of what has gone by is called Simha Avalokanam. One of the expressions in Sanskrit is reviewing like a lion. And lion appears to be a fearless animal. And so the fearlessness, the grandeur that the lion has, Lord Krishna says, that is my glory. How we can see Ishvara's vibhuti in everything? That's the whole idea of this chapter. Whether you meditate upon that or not is a different thing. But then wherever you look, so many objects are described here. As Lord Krishna says, that I am the Amshuman, Ravihi, I am the sun, I am the moon, I am the mind. So all of these are nothing but my glories. Indriyanam, Manaschasmi, among all the sense organs, I am the mind. Jyotisham, Raviram, Shuman, among all the luminaries, I am the sun, the most brilliant. Nakshatranam, Aham Shashi, among all the nakshatras or the stars or those which shine at night, I am the moon. So now you can look at the moon at night and see this is the glory of the Lord. Look at the sun during the day, that's the glory of the Lord. Look at the lion, look at the tiger, and whatever. Vainateya Spakshinam, among all the birds, I'm Vainateya. So, Vainateya means the Vinata Putra, the son of Vinata is Vainateya. So, Garuda is eagle, and that is the vehicle of Lord Vishnu. Eagle, this Garuda is a great devotee of Lord. He performed great penance and then prayed that please make me the vehicle of Lord Vishnu. So since then, he is a vehicle of Lord Vishnu. He of course soars high up in the sky and is a very sharp sight, although also a very, very beautiful also bird. And of course there are stories about this Garuda. The name of mother, so Vainateya, Vinata, is the name of mother of Garuda. This Vinata had two sons. One is Aruna, other is Garuda. These are the two sons of Vinata. She also had a co-wife. What do you call it, you know? Is it co-wife or what is it, you know? I don't know. In fact, the husband has more than one wife. And so Kadru was the another wife. And so both, then Kashyapa is a husband. And so once Kashyapa offered them a boon, so what do you want? Both of them wanted progeny. So then Kadru said, I want 1,000 children. I want 1,000 snakes as my children. Okay, you'll have them. And but Vinata said, I just want to have 2 very beautiful and powerful children. So okay, you'll have them. So apparently both of them laid eggs. And these eggs, they had to wait for 500 years, and the eggs did not hatch until then. But this Kadru's egg, it got ripened after 500 years, and 1,000 snakes came out of that, and this Vinata still did not get any child, because apparently her eggs did not hatch, or did not, materialize. So when she saw this Kadru playing with her children, 1,000 children, she was very jealous. And so, she was missing her own children, being mother. And so what she did is, one of the eggs, even though it had not ripened, she broke it just to so that the child would come out of that, you know, when she was all by herself. And the child did come out, but only half developed. That is Aruna. Aruna is the charioteer of Lord Sun, Surya. And he has only the upper half body, doesn't have the lower half. Because he was prematurely born, you know. Instead of 1,000 years, he was born at 500 years, and that's only half the body was formed. So as he came out of the egg, he was very angry with her, his mother. He says, you know, you've done this, and I curse you that you will have to become a slave of this Kadru, you know, of this another woman. Anyway, then this mother knew, and so she waited for another 500 years for the other egg to break, and from that Garuda came out, and then he was fully grown, and very powerful, very brilliant, very bright, shining. And so but the curse was there that this one had to become the slave of the other one. So once when these two ladies were sitting, I guess, they saw this horse Uchchaisravas. Remember earlier the flying white horse which emerged from the Milky Ocean. So he was passing by, and both these ladies saw. So then there was a bet among them. What is the color of the tail of this horse? It's a white horse. But Kadru says that the tail is black. Vinata says, no, the tail is white. So there was a bet. He says, whoever loses the bet becomes the slave of the other one. So what this Kadru, this woman, did? She asked her children. Among her children also were the cobras, the black ones. So she asked all her children to go and surround that, you know, stick to the tail. So tail would look black, you know. Some of the children refused to do that. So Vasuki was one of them. Ananta also was one of them. They did not accept. That is why they were cursed by their mother. Some of them accepted, and so they went and they stuck to the tail. So when they saw the tail, it looked black from a distance. So Kadru says, see, I told you, the tail is black. And so Vinata lost that bet, so she became a slave. And so she was suffering, and Garuda saw this. So he wanted to save his mother, and then these snakes told him that if you bring the ambrosia, then we will let your mother, you know, go. So he goes to heaven and brings the pot of ambrosia, etc. So that is the story of this Garuda. And as I said, he performed the penance to become the vehicle of Lord Narayana. The great devotee. There are many stories of these people, you know, all of them, but next one, verse number 31. Pavanah pavatamasmi Rāma-śyastra-bhṛtāmaham Jashānāmakarascāsmi Srotasāmasmi jānnavi. Pavanaḥ pavatāṁ aspavatāṁ. All those purify. I am Pavana, I am the wind, or the air. Among all the purifiers, I am the air. So air apparently is a great purifier. Pavayatrivinam vegvatam vamadhev. Pavana can, so pavatam can mean either those who are purifiers or those who have a high speed. So among those who have high speed, I am air. Or among those who are purifiers also, I am air. So air is a great purifier. Every element is a purifier. Fire also is a purifier. Water also is a purifier. But among them, Lord Krishna says, I am the Pavana, I am the air, which is the greatest purifier. Well, it is responsible for the life of all the living beings. It provides the carbon dioxide to the trees, it provides oxygen to the human beings, and it sustains the life. And wherever it goes, it takes away all the pollution and it clears everything. In that sense, he is the great purifier. Ramaha Shastra-bhṛtāmaham. Among those who wield weapon, Shastra-bhṛtāmaham, among all those who wield the weapon, I am Rama. Shastranam, Dharayitranam, Dasharathi. So there are three Ramas, you know, apparently. So while they recount the 10 avatars of Lord, it's a Rama, Rama, Rama. Three Ramas are there. First Rama is the son of Dasharatha. Second Rama is Parashurama. First is Parashurama. And then is Dasharathi Rama. Third is Balarama. All of these are said with the avatars, incarnations of Lord Narayana. Therefore, here Shankaracharya says Rama. So here, Dasharathi Rama. The son of Dasharatha, that Rama I am among the wielders of the weapons. So apparently his arrow is called Amogha, is unfailing. The arrow of Lord Rama never fails without doing its task. He is of course one of the most powerful, the most powerful archer. It is said that with one arrow he cut off 7 palm trees, you know, in a row to show his prowess. Because when he's brought to where Sugriva is, Vali and Sugriva are two brothers, and Vali is elder, Sugriva is younger, and Vali has usurped the Sugriva's wife, and he's sent away Sugriva in exile, and so poor Sugriva is living on one mountain, always afraid of his brother. So when Rama is brought to him by Hanuman, then there was the agreement of friendship between Sugriva and Rama, where Sugriva said that, all that I promised that I will find Sita, who has been kidnapped. And Rama said that, okay, I'll get your kingdom back. So Sugriva says, hey, you know my brother Vali, he's like a mountain, he's so huge, powerful, strong, how can you kill him? That's when Rama shows how powerful he is by shooting or by cutting 7 palm trees just, you know, with one arrow. His unfailing arrow. With one arrow, in fact, he was ready to dry up the whole ocean. So that's how Lord Krishna says that among all the wielders of weapon, I am Rama, who is the most powerful. Actually, Rama is his own incarnation anyway. But sometimes that is also called as glory, you know. Well, the incarnation itself is called, he is his own glory, you can say. Just as later on this chapter itself, he will say, Vrishninam Vasudevosmi. Among the Vrishnis, I am Vasudeva, they are himself, you know. So I am the glory. So similarly also, Dasharathihi, Akhila Rakshasa Kulakshayakara, one who destroyed the Kula, the clan of all the demons, you know. And so that is Rama. With single-handedly, he said to have destroyed or killed 14,000, the army of 14,000 demons of Kara and Dushana. So thus he is described as the most powerful one. Jashanam makarascasmi. Among all the fish or aquatic animals, I am Makara, I am shark. Makara means shark or a whale. I mean, so shark is well known for devouring everything, and whale of course is well known for its strength and for its beauty, and you know, so either way, Lord says that they are my glories, or I am in those forms. Srotasam asmi Jahnavi, among the rivers, among the flowing ones, the rivers, I am Jahnavi. Jahnavi is a name derived from sage Jannum. That's the name of Ganga. So Ganges, one of the names of Ganges is Jahnavi, because she is the daughter of Jannu. You know very well that Ganga was originally flowing in the heaven. And before that also, the emergence of Ganga. Ganga is associated with all the three deities, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. So once when Vishnu or Lord Narayana took the incarnation as Vamana the dwarf and sought 3 steps of land from Bali, Mahabali, the 3 steps of land was granted to him. And then he became, from a dwarf, he became, you know, the cosmic person. He just grew with his, the sun and moon as his eyes. You know, this is how big he grew. And then he started measuring 3 steps. In the first step, he measured the whole universe here, the earth. In second step, he measured all the rest of the realms. Puhu, Bhuvah, Suvah, Maha, Janah, Tapah, Satyam. Satyam is Brahmaloka, that's the realm of Brahma. So then his foot is rising like that, and it goes all the way up to Brahmaloka. And his the toe, the thumb of the right foot is rising. It pierces Brahmaloka, then Brahmaji knows that, hey, that this is the charana, the foot of Lord Narayana. So he rushes to show his honor, and Brahmaji always carries a kamandalu in his hand. With water in the kamandalu, he washes the feet, and that flow becomes the Ganges. So first this Ganges emerged from the kamandalu, the water part of Brahma, and then it emerged from the foot of Lord Vishnu. Haripadapadya Tarangini Gange. Haripadapadya Tarangini. So, it is the Haripada from the foot of the Lord that she emerged. And then, of course, Bhagiratha performed the penance and made Ganga to come down to earth. At that time, she fell all the way from the heaven. And she also was a little haughty, a little proud, because, you know, she says, who is going to bear my force? I'm going to tear off this earth. So, thinking so, she was falling from the sky because she is young. And so, that is why they requested Lord Krishna to, and Lord Shiva to receive her. And she thought that I'm going to break through the head of Lord Shiva. That's what she was thinking. She fell on the matted locks of Lord Shiva and got lost completely. Could not come out for a long time. And this Bhagiratha is waiting for Ganga to come out. He has to perform his task because 60,000 of his ancestors were burned to ash. And they would be only released from their sin only if Ganga actually goes and purifies them. So he prayed to Lord Shiva to please release Ganges. So Ganges released a small stream from the matted locks of Lord Shiva. Again, she is young, and so she is rushing and all enthusiasm, and you know, still very proud and doesn't see what is happening when she is flowing. In that process, she managed to drown the hermitage of sage Janna. He was a king actually, and performing his penance, and Ganges passes by and his hermitage is drowned, and he gets angry, and he simply Ganga, he drinks her through. So Bhagiratha is proceeding ahead in his chariot and Ganga is following. After a while he looks back and there is no Ganga. So he comes back and again prays to Lord Sage Jannu, please release her, and Jannu releases her from his ear. From then it is uneventful, you know. So up to there is all eventful journey. So that's why she came to be called Jahnavi, because she emerged from the ears of sage Jannu. Of course, Ganga, as you know, stands for the flow of knowledge, Jnana Parampara. And see, she actually is associated, there is no river like Ganga, which is associated with all the deities. That is why she is the great purifier. It is said that you take one dip in the Ganges, all your sins get, destroyed. Matter of Shraddha, but that's what is said about the Ganga. They don't even look upon Ganga as a river, it's a goddess. And they say that Ganges water has some very special properties, that the water remains pure for any length of time. It may have some excess oxygen also, whatever, but then bacteria does not ever grow into that water. That is why most of the Hindus have a Ganges water pot in their home, which they place in the puja. So that's how Ganges is looked upon as very, very pious, very sacred. and she looked upon as goddess. Srotasam Asmi Jahnavi, among all the rivers, I am Jahnavi, I am the Ganga. Then continuing, Sargana Madirantascha Madhyam Chaivaham Arjuna Adhyatma Vidya Vidyana Vadav Pravadatamaham. Sarganam Adihi Antascha Madhyam Cha Ahameva Arjuna. Here Arjuna, I am indeed the beginning, the middle and the end of all this Sarga, all the creations. If you remember, earlier also Lord said, Ahamadischa Madhyam Cha Bhutanam Anteva Cha. So I am the beginning, the middle and the end. Again Lord Krishna says, I am the beginning, the middle and the end. So same thing should not be said twice. That was the commentators interpret. That when earlier Lord Krishna said, I am the beginning, middle and end, it is all the living beings. Here when Lord Krishna said, I am the beginning, middle and end, it is all the insentient beings. That's how we have to interpret. So there is no repetition here, no tautology. In short, beginning of everything is Lord, middle of sustainer also is He, and ultimately the devour, destroyer also is He. And so, creation also is His glory, sustenance also is His glory, and destruction also is His glory. Or, He is the creation, He is the form of sustenance, He is the form of destruction. As Swami is very fond of saying, you know, created, sustained, gone, because you can't separate the three. Because creation is preceded by destruction. The destruction of the earlier stage alone is creation. And as a moment is created, it goes. Every moment gets created and goes, and moment does not have a dimension really. And therefore, how long is creation? How long is sustenance? How long is destruction? And so it's constantly going on. It's for us to say that this is creation and this is sustenance and the destruction, because there is no sustenance. What is sustenance? Because nothing ever remains the same. Everything is constantly changing. All we can say is that this whole process of creation and destruction is sustained. You know, that's what we can say. But then, so Lord Krishna says, that is my glory. So you can meditate. Something is born. That's Lord's glory. Something is gone, that also is Lord's glory. Something is, that also His glory. Then further Lord Krishna said, Adhyatma Vidya Vidyanam. Among all forms, disciplines of knowledge, I am the Adhyatma Vidya, I am the knowledge of the Self. So, Chaturdasha Sankhyanam Madhya. In different ways, the number of the disciplines of knowledge are divided. One division is that there are 14 disciplines of knowledge. Well, you can divide them as you like, you know, as many disciplines of knowledge as you can, but among all of them, I am the self-knowledge. Because ultimately, every discipline of knowledge, the seeker of knowledge, what is he searching for? Whether it is physics, it is chemistry, whatever field of or discipline of knowledge is, ultimately a sincere seeker of knowledge is searching for truth. A technologist will only search for the usefulness or utility of something. But a true scientist always searches for truth. So either it is chemistry, it is physics, it is biology, whatever it is. And there is only one truth, and that is the Self. So ultimately, so sarva vidya pratishtham. So brahma vidya, sarva vidya, brahma vidyam, sarva vidya pratishtham. Brahma vidya or atma vidya, the self-knowledge, the knowledge of Brahman, is said with the pratishtha, the very basis of all the knowledge. And the search or the seeking through any discipline of knowledge will not gain fulfillment. The seeker will not gain fulfillment until he comes to know that what he's seeking is the Self. Of course, there is no way that a scientist can ever discover this, because as long as you are looking out there, you can never discover the fact that you are the truth of what you are looking at. It is, you know, that somebody has to tell you, that you are the tenth man. He's searching for the tenth man, you know, in all other boys and everywhere else, and he can never suspect that he himself is what he's searching for. Somebody has to tell him. And so also, whatever a scientist is, or whoever is searching for, why a scientist, every human being is searching for something, searching for happiness, searching for success. Whatever one is searching for, in fact, is one's own nature. So you are what you are searching for. You are what you are seeking. This is what adhyatma vidya. This is what the self-knowledge tells us. That's the knowledge of self. That you are what you are seeking to be. You already are what you are seeking to be. You are seeking success. Success is what you are. Seeking happiness, well, that's what you are. You are seeking love, that's what you are. You are seeking peace, that's what you are. As long as you are seeking outside of yourself, you can never find it. That's where the frustration is. Human beings are highly frustrated in life because they want peace and happiness and love, certainly. Except that, always looking at outside of themselves. Adhyatma vidya. So no other discipline of knowledge can ever give us any lasting satisfaction. Well, of course, every scientist has a great satisfaction the moment when something is discovered, certainly. But that satisfaction will last only for a certain time, and again he'll be searched because he knows that this is not the ultimate thing that he wants. And so as Pujya Swamiji says that, every knowledge only reveals us what we do not know, and thus we find that our ignorance is more and more revealed, in fact, in every knowledge. In short, the knowledge of something other than myself can never give me a lasting satisfaction, whereas this is a knowledge that gives me a lasting satisfaction, a lasting contentment. As in the 7th chapter, Lord Krishna said, yad jñātvā neha bhūyo nyat jñātavyam avaśiṣyate. Knowing which, then here nothing remains to be known. This is the knowledge, knowing which nothing remains to be known. But Swamiji, I am not interested in knowledge, I am interested in happiness. I want peace, I want happiness, I don't care for knowledge, that's what it is. What does this knowledge reveal is that the peace that you want is already what you are. The happiness that you want is already what you are. And therefore, this knowledge amounts to the purushartha achievement of whatever it is that I am seeking in the life. So this knowledge is means of moksha, total freedom of what I am seeking. And therefore, knowing which, nothing remains to be known. Meaning that, knowing which, no discontentment or no dissatisfaction remains about anything. Otherwise, every knowledge reveals what all I do not know, and therefore does not give me any lasting contentment, whereas this, therefore, adhyatma vidya, vidya, and ultimately, all disciplines of knowledge should converge into the adhyatma vidya, the self-knowledge. Every true scientist, ultimately, even a scientist, as long as a sincere and honest person is a spiritual person, as long as a person is sincere and honest in what the person is doing, I would call him a spiritual person. However, only when that person realizes, you know, that what I am seeking is to be discovered in myself, then he becomes a spiritual person in a true sense. And therefore, ultimately, every discovery or every pursuit of knowledge has to resolve into the knowledge of the self. Vādah pravadatāmaham. Pravadatām. Of those who are discussing, you know, pravadatām. So among those who are discussing. But then here we should say pravadat sambandhinām kathābhedānām. Not among the people who are discussing, but then what is related to them, meaning among the discussions. So pravadat means the one who is discussing. But what we should understand is among discussions, because the discussion is one related to the one who is discussed. Among the discussions, I am Vada. So discussions are classified as of three types, Jalpa, Vitanda and Vada. So among these three, I am the Vada. Tatra. तत्व भूत्सो हो वीतरागयो हो सब ब्रह्मचारिणो हो. इमेजिन दैट देयर आर ब्रह्मचारीज मीनिंग दी स्टूडेंट्स हु आर डिस्कसिंग अमंग देमसेल्व्स विथ अ सिंसियर पर्पज ऑफ अंडरस्टैंडिंग और अराइविंग एट द ट्रूथ ऑफ ए गिवन थिंग. तत्व भूत्सव हो. सो दोज पीपल हु आर डिजायरस ऑफ नोइंग द ट्रूथ वीतरागयो हो द पीपल हु आर डिवॉर्ड ऑफ एनी राग एंड द्वेष. सो वाइल डिस्कसिंग द डिस्कशन इज नॉट प्रॉम्प्टेड बाय राग द्वेष, नॉट प्रॉम्प्टेड बाय लाइक्स और डिसलाइक्स और अटैचमेंट एवर्जन. इट इज प्रॉम्प्टेड बाय ऑब्जेक्टिविटी, बाय सिंसियरिटी ऑफ पर्पज दैट आई एम ओनली डिजायरस ऑफ नोइंग द ट्रूथ. एंड देयरफॉर अ पर्सन इज एक्चुअली डिस्कसिंग और इन्वेस्टिगेटिंग विद ओपन माइंड वेयर देयर इज नो आई एम नॉट होल्डिंग ऑन टू एनी ऑफ माय preconceived notions. Everybody has notions, no doubt. Even when you go into a discussion, there are notions. What is meant by discussion of the open mind is when a person is willing to let go of the notions, when it is discovered that what I am thinking is not right. In fact, when we are listening to the teacher, that's a frame of mind that is required. Because even when we go to the teacher of Vedanta, our mind is full of various conclusions and notions and opinions. And when we are listening to the teacher of Vedanta, when we discover that what we are presently thinking is not right, because the teacher also gives us the reasoning behind what he teaches us. And so with those reasonings, when I see that my conclusion is not reasonable, I am willing to let go of that conclusion. That's how we let go of the ignorance, you know. But even among the discussion also, when people are discussing, they have a sincere purpose of arriving at the truth and not proving my point. So it says, Vita Ragayoho, the people, the two persons who are free from raga and dvesha, sab brahmacharinoho, they can be two brahmacharis, meaning that two aspirants. Or Guru Shishyaho, it can be discussion among the Guru and Shishya, among teacher and student also. Then also with an open mind. Of course, Guru doesn't have to arrive at the truth, but the Shishya, the disciple should have an open mind. And with that open mind, he asks of the teacher tells him, and then he further asks, and that is how the purpose is to know the truth. Pramayana tarkena cha. The discussion that takes place on the base of pramana, on the valid means of knowledge. In some cases, shastra, the scriptures may be pramanam. Or tarkena cha. Along with pramana, such as shastra or the scriptures, we also apply the tarka or the reasoning. So, along with the scriptures and reasoning, where there is purapaksha and uttarapaksha, etc., so where there is an opponent and somebody may take the opposing point of view, other one will, you know, show the defect in that thinking, and this fellow will take one point of view, other person will show the defect. Not for proving him wrong, but for arriving at the truth. If such a discussion can ever take place, you know, then that will be called vada. It's a rare thing for such a thing to happen, but it can happen among sincere seekers. It can happen in a discussion between a teacher and a student, because the student has a great devotion and faith and trust in the teacher. The teacher has also a great concern and kindness to the student. So that can happen. So when these kind of feelings are there, even among the seekers who are discussing among themselves, if there's a feeling of brotherhood, feeling of, you know, intimacy, then it can definitely happen, because then my interest is not in proving somebody wrong. But then I want, it's a win-win, when you want win-win situation, you know. It's not a win and loss situation. So when we are discussing with this frame of mind, win-win situation, then we can arrive at the truth. Other one is what? Jalpa. Jalpa is what? So, parapaksha dushyate. There, in jalpa, of course, everyone has his own position, but then I am interested in proving the other person, I'm proving myself right, other person wrong. So jalpa is the kind of a discussion where a person wants to prove himself right, and that can be so only when the other person is wrong. So all the effort is made in proving myself right, other proving my point of view. Well, Swamiji would say that this is the kind of thing that will happen among the believers, because the believer believes what he believes is right and everything else is wrong. So when these believers discuss among each other or among themselves, each one wants only prove that he is right, other fellows are wrong. That would be called jalpa. And third is vitanda. Vitanda is when I want to prove him wrong, that's all, you know. That I don't have anything to prove myself, but you are wrong. So I think most, lot of discussion taking place in home, you know. Perhaps also maybe of this nature, where, of course in India the discussion takes place in parliament, etc. also is like that. Among the, you know, the ruling party and the opposition and stuff like that. But I think in our life also many discussions are like jalpa and vitanda, which create only a lot of misunderstanding, which hurt the feelings, and they do not serve the very purpose. Although, by the way, sometimes to protect the truth, you know a certain thing to be true, and now you have to defend the truth before some people who are using all kinds of means to defeat you. At that time, you may have to use this jalpa and vitanda also. So it is quite all right to use jalpa and vitanda to protect the truth. Just as for protecting a plant, you have a fence around that, and a fence of thorns around that also. Similarly also, to protect the truth, you may have to have a fence of this jalpa and vitanda, meaning that you may also use the same kind of method that the fellow is using in order to protect the truth. So that time jalpa and vitanda also become useful, by the way, for protecting the truth. But then Lord Krishna says, vadaha, among the kind of discussions, I am vada. Next verse is, अक्षराणामकारोऽस्मि द्वन्द्वः सामासिकस्य च अहमेवाक्षयः कालः धाताहं विश्वतो मुखः. Aksharanam akarosmi. Among all the letters, I am the letter A, or letter A. So earlier also Lord Krishna had said, what did he say? Giramasmi ekamaksharam. Giramasmi ekamaksharam. I am the Omkara, I am the Pranava among all the words or in the speech. So Lord Krishna declared himself as Pranava or Omkara earlier. So Omkara is his glory. Now Lord Krishna goes a step further and says, among all the letters, I am letter A. So in the Veda it is said, Akaro vai sarvavag. All the letters, you know, the entire speech is nothing but Akara. And this, of course, we heard a number of times as to how when you utter without any modulation, etc., then the word or letter, or the sound rather, that emerges from the throat is A. So, and then all the other sounds like A, E, U, K, K, whatever they are, of any language, they're all the modifications of the sound A. That's what he said, Akaro vai sarvavak, all the speech, meaning all the words, are nothing but akara, meaning the letter A. They're all modifications of A. Just as various ornaments are modifications of gold, and so also the various other sounds, like ka, kha, ga, a, b, c, d, whatever they are, all of these are nothing but the variations or modifications of A. Also, by the way, Omkara begins also with A. Akara, Ukara, Makara. So even Omkara also is made of A ultimately. And therefore, Lord Krishna's A is a, without A there would have been no speech. Swami says, you know, there would be no speech without A. And so it's the greatest glory of the Lord that because of whom the speech is, and so he is also a speech, plus all the very basis of the speech which is A. There is a dvandvaha samasikasyata. Among all these samas or compounds, I am a compound called dvandva. Now all these grammar students, you know, so all grammar experts. There are, how many samas are? There is avyayi bhava, one. Tat purusha, another one. Bahuvrihi, third one. And dvandva, of course there are other varieties, but there are four main classification classes of samasa or the compounds. Avyayi bhava. Pura padartha pradhanaha avyayi. This avyayi bhava samasa is where the, of the two words which form the compound, the previous word is avyaya or indeclinable. Like adhihari. Adhi means location, means haro in hari. Even adhyatma for that matter, you know. Adhyatma, atmanam adhikritya vartate. Meaning that which is centered upon atma. So adhi shows a location. It is an indeclinable. And see adhihari or adhyatma is a compound which is called avyayi bhava, where the first word, that avyayav, is an important thing, the location. Second one is called tatpurusha. Uttara padartha pradhanah tatpurusha. Like Sita patihi. Sita yaha patihi, their pati is important. You know, in, among these two words, Sita and pati, pati means husband. Sita pati means Rama, the husband of Sita. The word husband is important there. Because that's what is qualified by being husband of Sita. Third is Anya Padartha Pradhanaha Bahuvrihi. So this Bahuvrihi is another compound which is Anya Padartha Pradhanaha. Like Pitambaraha. So Pitam, Ambaram, Yasasaha, Pitambara, Pitambara. Pita means yellow, Ambara means garment. Pitambara can mean yellow garment, or Pitambara means one who wears yellow garment. See, Lord Krishna. He is neither yellow nor garment, you know. So it is the Anya Padartha Pradhana. Swami would give the example of Gokarna or Ashwakarna, you know. Sometimes people are named like this. Gokarna is the name of a person. Ashwakarna also is the name of a person. Ashwa means a horse. Karna means ear. Maybe the fellow has ears like horse or whatever. That's why it's called Ashwakarna. Or Gokarna, because maybe he has ears like a cow or whatever. So when you say Gokarnam Anaya, then you don't bring. So then, Gokarnam is not, so Gohokarna is not the karna or the ear of the cow, is the name of a person. Who is neither cow nor ear, you know. But then the name of a person. That is the Bahubrihi Samasa. So Lord Krishna says, no, I am not any of these. Then who are you? I am the fourth one, which is called Dvandva. Ubhaya Padartha Pradhana Samya Bhavena. So Ubhaya Padartha Pradhana, where both the words in fact are equally important. Rama Lakshmanau, where the words are connected with Chakara. Ramascha Lakshmanascha Rama Lakshmanau. Rama and Lakshmana are Rama Lakshmanau. In that, Rama and Lakshmana enjoy an equal position, equal importance. This story also you must have heard from Swamiji. There is a temple in the south which is called Rameshwara, you know. So, Rameshwara, of course, is the name of Lord Shiva. And it said that Lord Rama had actually installed that Shivalinga before and worshipped Lord Shiva before proceeding to Lanka. And so the question is, what is the meaning of this Rameshwara? And so, say Narada wanted to find out what's the meaning of Rameshwara. So he first went to Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu is very humble. Says, Sir, Rameshwara means what? Lord? Says, well, Ramasi Ishwaraha, Rameshwaraha. One who is Lord of Rama is called Rameshwara. So I am Rama, but he is greater than me. Lord Shiva is greater than me. So then he went to Lord Shiva. What's the meaning of Rameshwara? Says, Ramaha. So Ramasi Ishwara is Tatpurusha. But Lord Shiva says, Ramaha, Ishwaraha, Yasya Saha, Rameshwaraha. Rama is the Ishwara of whom is Rameshwara. In humility, Lord Shiva says that Rama is my Ishwara. Rama says Shiva is my Ishwara. Shiva says Rama is my Ishwara. Then goes to Brahmaji. He says, Ramas chaso Ishwara hai, Rameshwara hai. The one is Rama as well as Ishwara is called Rameshwara. So that was the most satisfactory explanation where Rama and Ishwara, mean both the Lords enjoy an equal importance, Rameshwara. Dvandvaha samasikasya. Of all these samas or compounds, I am this compound called Dvandva. Ahameva akshaya kalaha. I am the, indeed the time, akshaya, which does not suffer from kshaya or exhaustion or decay. The undecaying time I am, the eternal or perennial time I am. Prasiddha kshanadavakya. See, what happens is that in time, the kala or the time devours everything. Itself doesn't get devoured. So time always remains. Everything comes and goes, time always remains. Therefore, time is called akshaya. So one which is inexhaustible or indestructible. In the relative sense, of course, time also is destructible ultimately. Yasya brahma cha kshatram cha ubhaya bhavat odanaha mrityur yasya upasechanam kvaittha veda yatra saha. In Kathopanishad this is said, who is Ishwara? Yasya brahma cha kshatram cha ubhaya bhavat odanaha. From this Brahman and Kshatriya, the whole universe characterized by Brahmana, Kshatriya and all of them is a rice for him. Therefore, eating rice you require some chutney or some pickle. So, mrityur yasya upasechanam, the mrityu or the kala is upasechanam. Upasechanam means chutney. So, South Indians usually when they eat rice, their meals are very simple, you know. And so, they don't have, in North India, the meals are very elaborate. Yeah, the South Indians are very austere people. They just eat rice, that's all they need. In the rice they may put some ghee and some pickle, put some balls and that's it, you know, that's that. But when you eat rice, then the pickle also gets eaten, you know. Similarly also, when the Lord is devouring the whole universe, the time also gets devoured along with that. So time ultimately is not akshaya or indestructible in absolute sense, but then in the relative sense, the time can be called indestructible. But then, athva parameshvaraha kalasyabhi kalaha. But akshaya. So if you give importance to what kalaha time, then it is our regular time. But if you give importance to akshaya, indestructible, then this time does not satisfy that criterion, then we have to say kala means kalasya kalaha. That's also in Upanishad prana, pranasya prana. The prana of prana. So kalasya kala, the kala of kala. The one who devours time also. That is Parameshwara. So I am Parameshwara, who is the devourer of time also. Ahameva akshaya kalaha. So kala can mean time. It can also mean death, but here it means time. And of course, when there is time, there is going to be death. When there is time, there is going to be change. And change means, of course, the destruction of the previous state and the emergence of the new state. Dhataham vishvato mukha. Dhata or data. So this da and dha, these dhatus have a similar meaning. Therefore, dhata also can mean data. So data means karma phala data. Vidhata sarva, karma phalasya vidhata sarva jagataha. Lord Krishna is the dispenser of the karma phala, result of the actions. Vishvatomukha, sarvatomukha, all pervasive. he was somebody to give the result of the action. That entity must be all-knowing. For you to really determine what is the appropriate result for a given action, none of us can do that failing. Only Ishvara, who is omniscient, knows, because in every action, the whole universe participates directly or indirectly. And therefore, in order to take into account all the factors or variables involved in an action in determining the outcome, you must take into account the whole universe. Then alone you can really determine the exact outcome. And for that you must have the knowledge of the whole universe. You must be omniscient. There is only one, and that is Ishvara. Therefore, Dhataham, Lord Krishna says, I am the dispenser of the result of the action. Vishvato Mukha, with his face everywhere, all pervasive, he must be all pervasive also, because then alone he can know everything everywhere. I am the dispenser of the result of the action. Meaning that we can be quite sure that the karma phala, the result of the action, is always appropriate to the karma. Although we may not feel so. We may feel that injustice is done to us, Swamiji, I worked so hard and I did not get any compensation, etc. We may feel so. But then, in course of time, we will find out that everything works out well, everything works out all right, because there is no injustice in the scheme of things. There is always justice. Always fair, I should say fairness. This is unfairness. Fairness is the basis of the whole universe. And Lord Himself is that fairness. And therefore whatever happens has to be fair. Although from our limited standpoint things may appear to be unfair, but then if you look at anything from a cosmic standpoint, everything is in its appropriate place and everything therefore is fair. So that's why Lord Krishna says, I am the dispenser of the results of the action of all the beings, because Sarvot, my face is everywhere. I see everything. I know everything. I pervade everything. And therefore I am all-knowing. At the same time, I am also all-powerful. Because to give the result of an action, not only should you have the knowledge, you must have capacity also. So, all-powerful, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, that's what the entity should be to give rise to the correct result of action. And only Lord is there. So He says, I am the karma phaladata, dispenser of the results of actions. Okay. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Shankaram Shankaracharyam Keshavam Badarayanam Sutra Bhashya Krutau Vande Bhagavantau Punah Punah. Ishvaro Guru Atmedi Murti Bheda Vibhagine Vyomavat Vyapta Dehaya Dakshina Murtaye Namaha. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.